Hey, and welcome to the Disability Podcast, the podcast where we talk about tips, tricks, and everything disability. So let's not waste any time and get right into this episode of the podcast.
Welcome back to the Disability Podcast. Today's guest is Jane Rogers, who was diagnosed with epilepsy at 13 and has spent more than 30 years navigating seizures, side effects, hospital visits, and the emotional weight that comes with all of that. She writes and speaks with honesty, grit, and humor, and her book, Laughing Through the Storm, is rooted in resilience and finding light in the very dark moments. So, Jane, why don't you talk to about a little bit about your start and where all this came from, really?
Yeah, so 3 years ago is when I first started writing this book. It's about my life living with epilepsy for over 30 years. I start prior to being diagnosed. I start from the very beginning when I was born and talk about a life prior to that. But then when I was diagnosed at 13, it was a very hard age to have to go through such a situation like that. And I got bullied as a result. I talk about life living with epilepsy and the unpredictability of this disease. But I also I believed it was very important for me to bring in a lot of humor into this book because humor has been my coping mechanism throughout my life. And that's just the way I've been navigating this disease, and I found it very important to bring that humor in, especially in the hard times, the heavier parts of the book. I brought in a lot of that because I felt that was important to bring some humor in. And I have found with writing this book, I've gotten a lot of good feedback with people really kind of beginning to understand it more of how unpredictable this disease is and how it's not just when you have seizures. There's so much more layers to this disease and people just don't see how difficult it can be. That's kind of
that's the gist of it.
Yeah,
gist of it. So I got diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 17.
Okay.
So yeah. I am uniquely aware of exactly what you mean by it's not just the times that you have the seizures, it's kind of 24/7, because even if you have a controlled, even if medicine is controlling it, it's still not 100%. So why do you think the humor helps? Is it because you're seeing everything on the light side of?
Well, focused on the keeping things light, especially in my early 20s, because at that time, at 21 years old, I dislocated my shoulder for the first time after a seizure. And that just led to basically a year and a half long stint of having dislocations every single time. So I ended up dislocating 75 times in that time frame. And my parents were doing their best to keep a smile on my face and try to keep things light. And because it was getting very difficult to navigate, especially when the doctors wouldn't listen to us when we said it was important that I should have surgery because it wasn't going to heal on its own. So, humor really played a huge part at that time in my life. And I'm grateful that I had that because it was getting very difficult to keep that smile on my face and keep me focused on keeping my head down something will change eventually. But right now I just, try to keep myself smiling. And, from there, I knew that, that was just my coping mechanism and it got me through that dark time. And I'm grateful for that.
What was the sort of reaction from friends and family? Because you say that laughter and humor played a lot of the coping mechanism, but people who don't really understand how to cope and how epilepsy affects a person, even if you're close to it and you're not actually living it, how did your friends and your family react to, you know, really using humor as that crutch, inverted commas, to, you know, live on the best side of life?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, my parents especially, like, they really instilled in me, especially my father, from his background, he really taught me that it's important to just try to keep things light. You know, like, I mean, you know, it's a serious issue, and, you know, it's not a way of just like, yeah, everything's fine or whatever, but, you know, like, sometimes, you have to look at the silver linings of things. My whole family has always been, had that same kind of viewpoint and understood that, you know, like, it's just who we are. And outside of the family, friends, they have a good understanding on how I am around that, and they have been respectful of that. You know, not everybody understands, like, because they think, you know, some people may think I'm not taking things seriously if I'm laughing about it, but I'm not laughing at the fact that I'm having seizures. There's been funny situations of the absurdity of timing when I have them that, you know, like, I laugh about, but, you know, it's, anyways. Yeah.
So what sort of made you decide, okay, it's time to write a book about your experiences?
Yeah, so it was about 3 years ago. I actually was making a jewelry and writing articles alongside each piece of my brain surgeries and things like that. My husband was like, geez, you have a lot of good stories here. Like, why don't you write a book? And I, you know, at first I was like, that's the first, I don't know. But then I was like, you know what? You're right. I have a good story to tell. And when I have shared my life story with other people, they have also become more brave and opened up about their past. So I know that, I knew that this was, this would be a good thing for me to do. And I am more comfortable with being open about this now, the older I've gotten. So that as well is one thing that I just knew it was the right time for me. And like I said, whenever I share my story with other people, they're always feeling more comfortable with being open with me as well, with their stories. And so I think that's the reason why, I thought it was the right time for me to do it. And, yeah.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's always good because everyone always asks, you know, what are other people going through that I am? And people really, I mean, everyone goes, if you have epilepsy, everyone goes through the same things, especially at the beginning. And so it is a massive weight off the shoulders when you actually read that, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
There are other people living this exact experience that I'm living. So if someone reads your book, what do you think is the number one takeaway? Because everyone's going to take away different things from reading. But what is the number one thing that you think most people should take away from it?
Well, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback where, you know, people are just like amazed at the resilience that I have built over time. And they've taken away where, you know, it's important to be open and honest sometimes about your situation, and so that you can kind of teach people about how to teach people about this disease, so that, you know, the stigma is less, you know, because I have found when I've been closed off and ignoring all that sort of thing, you know, I'm getting treated in a way that is not respectful. But people in general have taken away how strong I am, how the resilience I've built up over time, and that sometimes it's important to just keep things light and look at the positive things in life, which you know, I've shown throughout the book that's just how I am and how I've how I've been throughout my life.
I think it's how I became forever the optimist everyone likes to call me. I'm very optimistic and always seeing.
Exactly.
But I've always thought, especially with epilepsy, I don't think there's ever the perfect time, but when you're introducing, meeting new people, especially in social situations, mm-hmm. whether, you know, you may get to know them over time, is there a right time to tell people, not just for the safety side, but also just for the social side, mm-hmm. that I have, you know, epilepsy, and this is especially for the safety side, this is what to do if I have a seizure?
It can all depend really with things. I'll give you an example. If I'd be just meeting them that one night, I wouldn't necessarily bring it up, but I've been in a situation where I was going to be spending a full week with 22 other strangers. So I knew automatically that it would be important. This was when I was doing the Hoffman process. So they were all there as well with me. Going through, it's like the Hoffman process is a place where people go who are either stuck in life or have gone through trauma and things like that. So that first night, I knew that it would be important for me to let people know of my condition, because I didn't want to, if something happened while we were all together and they had no idea of any of this, I would be basically causing them more stress or trauma because they were unaware of any of this happening. So I automatically that night, I stood up in front of everyone and said, my name is Jane, and I want to tell all of you that I have epilepsy. And I automatically started telling them exactly what they need to do if I have a seizure. And I told them I'm an open book. So please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me anything, because I do not want to make anybody's experience any more stressful if that happened. Luckily, that week, nothing happened during the day. I did have one during the night, but so that was whatever. people appreciated me being honest right away, because no one had ever seen somebody have a seizure before. So I knew that it could have very well caused a lot of stress and more trauma for these people, and I did not want to be responsible for that. So in that case, I was open and honest right away, because I knew, like, this is the week I'm spending with 22 other strangers, and I I do not want to cause havoc here. So yeah, but if I'm meeting the person for the first night, for only one night, I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, I'm an epileptic, but in that kind of situation, I was like, I am just going to be honest right away.
Yeah, it's always, I think it's a fine line, and you have to judge the whole situation from, all angles, really. Otherwise, you don't really get the right. It's hard. It is hard for my experience anyway. Because if it's a one night situation or one day, or you're at, just at a social event, I normally just don't bring it up. But then slowly, eventually, you sort of let people know.
Yeah.
But I've always thought, because most people don't witness an epileptic seizure, and there's a lot of myths around epileptic seizure, whether they're peddled through, social media, films, TV, all of that stuff, for the, shall we say, dramatic effect, especially on TVs and Hollywood. So what is the most common myth that everyone should just dispel immediately?
Well, geez, I mean, people always ask me right away, like, oh, do they need to put something in my mouth so I don't, like, you know, choke on my tongue or all that kind of thing. I'm like, no, for the love of God, like, please do not do that to me. Like, oh my God, no, I'm not going to choke on my tongue. You, I mean, I guess there's some cases where maybe some epileptics bite their tongue. So yeah, but the choking on your tongue, that's like a no. Like, I don't know where that came from, but, like, I mean, come on, that ain't gonna happen. So I kind of shut that down right away. Yeah, that one for sure. The strobe light, I know that, like, I know it's not as, I think it's more rare for epileptics to be to have seizures because of strobe lights.
It's one of the less common ones, it's the most peddled one.
Yeah, like, I mean,
funnily enough,
I'm definitely not going to stare into a strobe light because, you know, like, I mean, it gives me a migraine, but, you know, like, I tell them, right, don't worry about that, but I'm not going to be, like, you know, I'm not going to be looking into the world, staring at it just because, you know.
I think strobe lights are uncomfortable for everyone, not just people.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just uncomfortable, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm one of the people who bite their tongues when I had seizures.
Okay.
Actually, first time I had a seizure, I sort of traumatized because I was with my family. I traumatized my family because I bit my tongue.
Mm.
Well, I kind of fell off my bed, bit my tongue. So it was the first time I ever had a seizure. So I was literally seizing on the floor, blood dripping out of my
mouth. Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. There was a whole all-in-one.
Oh boy, yeah, that's rough.
It's rough.
Yeah.
But I mean, luckily for me, I've been very lucky. I haven't had a seizure in about 10 years, I think. I've only had 5 seizures in my life.
Okay.
But I was very lucky with the medicine.
Yeah.
Which I suppose you're either very lucky or not.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not the lucky one. I am trying a new medication that has been apparently been effective for people such as myself who do not respond well to standard epilepsy medication. So, you know, it hasn't been a full year yet, but I'm hoping it will do something for me. But right now, no. But you never know. Like, I mean, the things take time. So we'll
see. Yeah, there's also every year it seems there's something new that comes out. But then so obviously the medicine wasn't working 100%. So what made you go to the brain surgery side of things? Because when I was seeing a doctor, they said that I could have brain surgery, but it's quite daunting when you think of it.
Yes, of course it is. Yeah. Like, I mean, back when I was 16, I went to the Neurological Institute in Montreal to see if I'd be a candidate. And at that time, after 5 weeks, they were like, sorry, we can't help you kind of thing. So I was like, okay. But I went there like when I was 32 again for another from my vagus nerve implant. And at that time, they were like, well, why don't you come and let's do testing to see if you'd be a candidate. And at first I was like, oh God, you're not this again. but I was like, you know what, this is an opportunity. Like, I mean, it's been so many years, technology is better, like, just do it. So I went there for 3 separate times for testing, and eventually they were able to find the areas. But I was like, you know what, after all the testing and stuff, they were like, it's the percentage of it was not a high percentage of huge any big complications and so forth, so the surgery would be relatively safe. So I decided that, like, you know what, I gotta at least try and see, because nothing else has been working. So and I have this opportunity. So yes, it was daunting, but I was like, I'm not I didn't want to live a life where I was like, what if, you know, because you said I was a candidate. So I'm like, I cannot live a life where I'm like, what if I did this and I would be seizure free? You know, I just, that's not how I didn't feel like I'd be able to live my life having that in the back of my head. So that's why I went through with it. Unfortunately, it helped with my petite mal seizures when they did operate on my temporal lobe, but which is good. But the real problem, the bigger problem was the grand mal seizures. And when they operated, they saw that some of the activity spread over to my motor skills. So they weren't able to operate there. And they did their best to try to, fizzle things out and so forth. But it didn't work. However, when they were cleaning up the scar tissue, they unblocked something because before my mom said that this is the exact word she's always said. It was like pulling teeth when you're trying to have a conversation with you. So I didn't know it was that bad, but now it's like it unblocked something where I'm actually able to have a conversation with people smoothly and asking them questions and so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, well, at least that helped. Yeah.
So some benefit. For me, I never went down. They only said maybe I have to have surgery if the medicine didn't work.
Yeah.
Which was luckily nice for me that the medicine did work. Mm-hmm. But my seizures, they start out. So before I got diagnosed with epilepsy, they started out as just small seizures that, because I have hemiplegia, I will associate it with hemiplegia. Basically, all that happened is my left wrist sort of just locked like this. Mm. And I thought that was just because, and that's my hemiplegia does that by itself. It's been doing it for decades. And I thought it was just my hemiplegia. But then when I was 17, 18, it turned from that into a grand mal within 30 seconds. And that's how now my seizures are. I get a wrist lock and then I'm passed out for 40 minutes . I regain consciousness after 40 minutes. I think the seizures last 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever, but I'm completely blacked out.
Okay.
So I don't remember anything for the past 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. For me, I am for some reason more worried about the people who I'm around because I don't remember anything. So I'm okay. 100% fine. It's the effect that I'm having on the close people around me. So, but there's not much I can do. Yeah. I can't just be like in the middle of a seizure, calm down, it's all right.
Yeah.
So if someone's having, let's just say they've been diagnosed with epilepsy right now, what do you think is the major couple of things that they have to, fix for themselves so they can get through that initial couple of months? Because I know in the initial couple of months they have to find the right medicine. If the right medicine doesn't work, it's a long journey.
You have to start basically taking notes and getting your loved ones to take notes. Like if they see anything odd that's going on with you, it could be a signal for you're going to be having a seizure that night or some other thing. Like taking tons of notes so that you can bring more information for those doctors. But you have to kind of be prepared as well for, the unpredictability. Figuring out what kind of triggers there is. Like, what is your trigger for seizures? Is it hormonal? Is it stress related? Are you drinking too much? it's just the trigger. It's like finding out.
Triggers can be anything. That's the problem.
It could be anything. So you just have to be very hyper aware of everything so that you can try to, improve your chances of finding something that will be helpful and navigating this the rough waters ahead, because it really will like, I mean, back then when I was diagnosed, like I was 13. So my parents were trying to protect me as much as possible and saying, you know, everything's going to be fine and everything, like, let us take care of it. Just, you know, deal with it. You just have the seizures. Just everything else will take care of you. So they really, you know, hit a lot of things where, you know, that were more, would, you know, freak me out because, you know, they didn't, you know, like, I mean, I was 13, of course they're going to try to protect me, but yeah, like when the first bit, you know, it can be difficult, but writing things down, like finding out what your triggers are, all those things, and asking your loved ones to do the same so that maybe there's something you're missing, because, you know, I mean, I remember, like, I was, you know, kind of clueless to really understanding any whatever triggers were going on. But it was happening in my sleep too, so, you know.
Do you think it's good if they search out someone who's already been diagnosed with epilepsy, so they have kind of like a mentor person situation that they can go and ask questions?
I think that's very important. And there has been some people who, people that I know that who knew somebody who just was diagnosed, or their child was diagnosed, and they've reached out to me, and I was helping them, get ready for the road ahead. So I helped a few different people with that because, I have over 30 years of experience. So, but I did in a way where I was just trying to give them little tips and not trying to freak them out either. At the same time, like, oh my God, you're a long road ahead. You know, just take lots of notes, time those seizures, do all those kind of things. Like, get as much information as possible to that doctor so that they can help you as best as they can. Because if you don't do that, then, you know, it's harder for the doctor to give you the right kind of medication or treatment that would be helpful. Mm. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, now this is this is very modern, but do you think AI has any place in seizure awareness, or, you know, analyzing your own life to see, or even helping taking notes that you may have forgotten yourself?
Well,
the initial stages especially.
Well, I mean, I have used it a little bit for doing some research on the new medication that I'm taking, and just kind of asking it, what, like, give me every kind of treatment there is out there for epilepsy. And, like, I mean, it gave me, like, it just came so quickly. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, I could have used this back in the 90s if we had an internet then. And I was just like, holy crap. So yes, I think it could be very helpful for that, because it really, you know, it's so quick with finding any kind of article out there that's been helpful. And I mean, my God, it would have been so much easier back then to have that, because, asking it some questions or whatever, I think it could be very beneficial. And honestly, it helped me so quickly with finding information about this new medication and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm definitely on board with that, because otherwise, you know, you're digging and digging out through these books and it's just like, oh God.
Yeah. Half of it is not useful to your use case, because, you know, everyone with epilepsy they're all very specific. So it does help. Well, for me, it helps as well.
Yeah.
But if you have one tip or trick that you could tell anyone who is listening right now, what do you think it would be?
Tip or trick?
Tip or trick dealing with epilepsy, they just day to day, anything that makes their life easier.
Well, I think that tip or trick. That's a hard one for me to answer there. I guess it's just, you know, keep, like, Don't take your life for granted. And don't take any of your loved ones for granted by any means. Like, it's important to, even if you're, like, depending on how many seizures you're having, just try to find something that will keep you happy. Any kind of hobby or anything creative. Because that's really, with me writing this book, like, it really, really helped me, especially this past summer with going on this medication. Like, it was very rough, but it gave me a purpose and it gave me a lot of joy, even though there were some hard chapters to write. It was very helpful for me. And so I find a purpose for yourself. Find something that gives you joy so that you can focus on that as well. Keep focused on your health, but focusing in a positive light and something that will give you joy and potentially as well, like for this book, it gives me purpose to try to help others. And at the same time, it has been very beneficial for me mentally with navigating everything. And it's interesting how when you start talking about all this sort of stuff, it really can be healing. It can be healing your soul, because for many years I felt very lost, but now I feel more grounded and in a path that gives me a lot of I'm looking forward to future endeavors and where this will take me, because I know it's going to be in a good path. And so find something that brings you joy and a purpose in life, because that will definitely help ground you and keep you focused on a good, being on the right road.
So don't forget to enjoy your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget to enjoy your life. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Jane. I mean, we've had a nice half an hour discussion. If there's anything else that you want to let everyone know, the mic is yours. Otherwise, I will post all your links and your book and everything that they can to go and contact you in the description.
Yes.
And yes.
Yeah. So basically, with my book, all the proceeds of my book will be going to the Epilepsy Ottawa organization. That was a definite purpose throughout, to give back to that community. My website is laughingthroughthestorm.com, and that's where everybody would be able to find my where to buy my book and other things like my social media links and so on and so forth. So yeah, that's
all right. Perfect. Thank you for coming on the Disability Podcast, Jane, and I hope you have a great afternoon day.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Disability Podcast. Anything that you heard during the show will be linked in the show notes, including where to get more information about our guest, our Lunar Life newsletter, or anything else that you may find interesting. If you want to know anything more, leave us a comment. Please follow our Instagram, message us on LinkedIn, all of which also will be in the show notes. We hope to see you again next week. Thank you for listening.